Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Listening is Odyssey's commitment to mental health conversations. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, depression, anxiety, or mental illness, help is available. Call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's 988.
Welcome to Ask the Expert North Texas here on News Radio 1080 KRLD. I'm David Rankin.
And I'm Kristen Diaz. April is Financial Literacy Month, and there is a big word. It is very much the keyword, savings. It's on top of mind for so many people, you know, from inflation, home buying, families growing, vacation goals, whatever your reason, it's really important to have a hold on your budgeting. According to Bankrate study, 56% of Americans wouldn't be able to pay for an emergency expense of at least $1,000 or more from their savings account. So again, this is really an important topic for everyone. Joining us on today's Ask the Expert, we have CPA Maya Korbic. Thank you so much for joining us here on KRLD.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You know, with when we talk about literacy month, you know, as far as a financial literacy month, what is the biggest misconception about budgeting our money and having control of our money? Are we too passive? Do you think most people are too passive about their pocketbook?
I don't think that people are too passive. I actually think that a lot of times people think that they have to sacrifice so much in order to manage money and in order to get ahead. So it's really daunting. And plus, I think a lot of people think it's boring. You know, there are a lot of great Netflix shows that we could be watching instead of, you know, balancing our checkbook and budgeting. But, you know, we can make it fun. It doesn't need to be boring.
Okay. How do you make budgeting fun?
So what I usually like to say to people is to put in their priorities in order. So, you know, we all have different priorities. Personal finance is called personal for a reason. And when it comes to budgeting, we really need to put in some fun items in there. So what brings us joy? You know, a lot of times you will hear some, you know, sometimes people will say, well, don't buy that cup of coffee because, you know, it all adds up. And, you know, it's a lot of money at the end. But, you know, if your Starbucks really brings you joy, if this is one thing that you want to do for yourself one day, I say put it in your budget. It's okay. That just means that, you know, saying yes to Starbucks means saying no to something else that's maybe less important.
So when we talk about financial literacy, I mean, it really starts when you get that maybe that first allowance or birthday money and you start your piggy bank for the first time. That's when we really start to build this relationship with money. And I think it's on the 25th later this month is actually it's the Teach Children to Save Day. That is really a unique holiday, but why is it so important?
I think it's important because we want to instill really good habits in our children and normalize saving money, talking about money with them, because they say that 95% of what we do out of habit, and that we do it on autopilot. So if we can instill these really good habits in our children, that's going to help them when they become adults. So what I do with my own children is, they're older now. I have a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old. But when I first started giving them allowance or if they got any monetary gifts for their birthdays, I would ask them to save half, and then they were allowed to spend the other half.
That's one thing that is sadly missing in education these days. I mean, parents can teach their kids only so much. In a lot of cases, the parents don't know much about savings themselves. Why isn't financial education taught more in schools?
I think it's actually being, you know, they are bringing it into schools now, but it's still not in all schools or in all states. And there's still topics that are not being taught. Like, for example, investing is not being taught because it's quite a complex subject. But I also, you know, it's really interesting. I've done a poll. I have a pretty popular Instagram account, and I've done a poll. I asked the parents who follow me, you know, should financial literacy be taught in schools, or yes or no? And some of them were saying no, and I couldn't understand why. When I asked them, many of them reported that financial literacy or personal finance is personal, which I completely understand, because you have to think about it. Like, we all have certain beliefs and values as to what the money should be spent on. Some people are really big on donating their money. Some people are, you know, they will not buy, let's say, from companies that, you know, maybe have negative impact on our environment. And so their parents they want to pass on these values onto their children. So they think that, you know, maybe if it was taught in school, maybe these kids would be taught differently. But in my opinion, I think the school should be teaching the basics, and then the parents need to add the value component.
Yeah, there's definitely some building blocks to it, for sure. We see a lot of students, you know, even though we think this intimate relationship with money at a young age, it really doesn't start hitting us until we start pulling out those student loans. Those student loans really start to make you wake up real quick when you realize you have debt that you have to pay. Talk about Americans' relationship with debt. I know that can be a very complex conversation, but from your perspective and in talking about financial literacy, debt seems to be a really big crutch for most Americans.
I think the thing is, just in North America in general, there is a certain lifestyle that we all want to live, or that we're expected to live. And so we've normalized taking on debt to support that lifestyle. Personally, I think taking on debt in some cases where it's going to better our financial situation is okay. Student loans, I think they are to some degree acceptable, as long as, you know, when you graduate, you are going to be making more money than you would have otherwise if you had not gone to college, right? Or taking on debt to start a business. I mean, I know businesses can be risky, but bettering your financial situation because of that loan. But if we're simply taking debt on, consumer debt, you know, just to go on vacation or buy a nice purse, well, that's where we can get ourselves in trouble. And I think we have normalized that. And I find that social media makes it a lot harder not to take on that debt, because, you know, we see all these nice things that people have and we want to have them too. And it's, you know, that's just our human nature. So it's really hard to say no to those things.
Especially in the last few years, there's been a wave of something called hate spending going on, where people are, you know, despite the fact that they may not be able to afford it, they tend to spend more money literally that they don't have, and then they get deeper into debt.
I haven't heard of hate spending. So what exactly is hate spending?
Okay. So what it says in this article in Business Insider is we're sick of high prices, but that's not going to stop us from shopping. So we're spending out of the hate, even though we hate high prices.
Interesting. I feel that maybe, you know, I understand that, you know, people are upset about it, but that's just getting them in further trouble. It doesn't really help anything. I haven't heard of that term before. I'm a little bit baffled.
You know, these kids, they always got something new to say. But, you know, let's talk about some of the helpful things, right? As we talk about, social media apps can sometimes be harmful to our spending. I know I'm guilty of like the targeted ads. So I was like, how did they know I would love this? I bought it. But, you know, what about the helpful apps, like helpful tools for budgeting and understanding your finances? Are there tools that you recommend that are online or through apps that you think have bettered our understanding of money?
Yeah, there are a lot of, I mean, not even just apps, like even just some social media accounts. There are people like me, CPAs, who have their own Instagram page, and they're offering different ideas, or they're educating about certain topics. Of course, you have to be careful who you follow, make sure that they have right credentials. But you know, you can learn a lot from these people. You can get inspired. You can, you know, become or join a community where, you know, with like-minded people who want to get out of debt, who want to do better for themselves and their children. So there are, I find that every social media platform has accounts like that, and you can learn a lot from them. You don't need to buy anything from them. You can just go there for free information. But then again, you know, just make sure you're following the right people.
One thing that you do on your own Instagram account is talk about how you can make a child a millionaire. How do you make a child a millionaire?
Yeah, so one thing that our kids have that is really beneficial to them is time. And time and the compound interest can do heavy lifting of the wealth creation. So we can invest as little as $10 a week for our, let's say, our newborn child, and keep doing that up until the age of 18. And you know, at that point in time, if you want to stop investing, you can just leave that money sitting in a portfolio, let's say invested into an ETF that follows S&P 500, and that money can be worth up to millions of dollars, you know, 30, 40 years from that point on. Or you know, if you can't do that, but let's say now you have teenagers, and as soon as they start working, it's really helpful to teach them to invest some of the money that they earn. And they can, again, put $10, $20 a week, which is not much, but it can really add up and grow to significant amounts of money. They can become millionaires. It really is possible.
Well, just again, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of an overview of how things have changed over the years when it comes to financial literacy over generations, and some things that we can do, like you said, adding some of those social media accounts to help us understand and navigate our way through this. We appreciate it. That is Maya Korvick. She is a CPA. She's also the author of From Piggy Banks to Stocks, The Ultimate Guide for Young Investors, right here on KRLD. We appreciate the time.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.